Hello and welcome to PMI's Uncommon Sense podcast, tools to improve your work forever. I'm Susanna Clark, Managing Partner with PMI, the performance improvement consulting and training firm. Our Uncommon Sense podcast is a 15-minute conversation with our expert consultants. They talk a lot of common sense, although much of it is not common practice. And that's what this podcast is all about. We want you to be inspired to improve your business through learning more about the tools which can help you succeed and grow. Today, I'm joined by Damien Albinson, Senior Consultant with PMI. Thank you for joining me, Damien. Good to have you.
Thank you very much.
For those of you who are regular Uncommon Sense listeners, you may previously have heard Damien and I talk about an episode on roles in process management. And today we're going to talk about the role of the process operator. So Damien, give us a bit of context around the role of the process operator in terms of the process and improvement.
The process operator is the term we use to describe the people who are at the doing end, so to speak. They do the daily work. So whether that's the people on the phones in the call center, or the people sat at the desk in the offices, or the people in the manufacturing facilities operating the machinery and equipment, it's those people who we're talking about. But we're describing the process operator role in the context of this thing we call process management. So yeah, I thought I could talk to you a little bit more about what they do and what we expect of them.
Yeah, it's that expectation, I think, which I think is perhaps sometimes missing.
I agree. So, of course, the work they do is super vital because in most cases, these people will be operating what we could call the core process. That's where the real value is developed for your customers. So if you sell houses, the people that build those houses are very important people, right? Because without them, you don't have a product to sell. Just the same as in service, the people that are dealing with customers on phones or so on, or generating things that the customer actually receives or services they receive. That's how you have a business, right? It's the work of those people. And so what we expect of the operator are a number of things, in fact, with regards to process management and improvement. The first one being, and I talked about this when we discussed more in depth about the process managers, this cycle of what we call standardize, maintain, and then improve. So the first role or responsibility of an operator is to work to the agreed standard. Now, I've had many interesting challenges over the years with operators who say, well, why? You know, I like to do things my own way, or I found my own little niche way of doing something.
Or I can do it quicker.
Or I like to take my time even. And the answer is whether that matters or not. It comes to the classic, it depends. So we have to look at the work of a process in the eyes of a customer. Okay, so let's say we have two operators and one prefers to do something a different way to another. If there's no effect on the output, i.e. the thing that the output of their work and the outcome of that work, if the customer says, I can't tell the difference, it's had no impact on me in terms of time or quality or safety or risk or anything like that, we could say, okay, we can let them be flexible. We don't need to standardize that and force one of them into a certain way of doing something. It's when it does matter that it becomes more of a challenge. Okay. So one person might prefer to do it a certain way, but that might then later on be regarded as a defect, an internal defect at least, or maybe it's slower. And if we're looking for efficiencies, we might say, we know there's a quicker way because someone else has demonstrated it. That's when we have to get the conversations going and be very objective about what are we looking to accomplish by coming up to some agreed, what we would call the best known way, you know. What's the best way collectively of doing that work today? And finding those parts that really do matter and making sure that we've got a very good, clear standard for that so that there is consistency, that people do follow it a certain technique. And usually I find if people understand the connection between doing it that way, because if we don't, we then risk something like time or quality or safety. If operators have that understanding of the why component, they generally will then follow that standard. They understand why it's there. Mistake many businesses make is when they impose standards on the operators and just expect them to follow it because it's the rule. If there's no logic behind why that's there, people then think it's okay to circumvent that, or do it their own way, find a better way. And then, of course, that's where the problems start to creep back in. So that's one of the first objectives for a process operator, to help work to those standards, or maybe to help us create them because they don't exist.
I'm interested in your comment about if two operators do it differently, but it's absolutely the same outcome for the customer, then you might not worry about it. But it does then mean that later on, should you want to improve something, well, which one are we improving? And you're still at some point going to have to overcome the single way of doing something, aren't you?
Not necessarily. So what you often find, and maybe I should clarify what I meant when I said that, you'll probably find that at the process flowchart level, you know, let's say it's making a cup of tea, right? And it's going to sit and get the cup out of the cupboard, you know, mix the contents up, serve to customer, right? Simple three-step process. But when we look into the detail, you know, the way that you mix the contents together, you might put the milk in first and the tea bag, then the water, or I might do it in a different pattern, right? We might do that just because we find that easier. But if the customer of the cup of tea in this case says, I couldn't tell the difference between Susanna's or Damien's cup of tea, why should we then try and agree some standard? We have consistency at the high level. We have variability at the real task level. But here we say it doesn't really matter. In most cases, you'll find those differences do matter. They do cause some undesirable effect. But that's looking at it more from a pessimistic view. If you look at it from the optimist view, when we explore those variations of how we both do it, we can probably, and especially if there's actually several other people that also make cups of tea, we can find what we call the best known way. So it might be that you've got a really clever way of, I don't know, opening a new bag of tea bags that takes you like half a second, right? Whereas I faff around for 15 seconds trying to find the edge of the cellophane or something. You go, no, actually, I've got this technique where you twist the box and it just pops out or something. Right. Now I know there's a better way. I'm going to adopt that into my practice. If you involve operators in the right way, engaging them around this idea of standardization, treat it as it is, as in what it should be, which is to explore and find this best known operating practices, it's beneficial to everybody to get involved and do that, because everyone's going to take something from it. If you do have those more stubborn people that are saying, I just want to do it my way though, because that's what I've gotten used to, then we can have that more objective conversation that says, okay, the reason we want you to adopt this alternate version is because there are errors with your methods that we've measured that we can quantify. It's not just an opinion. So yeah, so it all gets quite interesting.
So you were saying that's the first thing to consider.
Yeah. So the other one is to help the process improve. Now, any operator that's doing any job where there's a degree of repetition, where they might not do the same job over and over again, especially in service type businesses, but they would come to approach the same task, usually in some repetitive nature, whether that's once a week or twice a month, maybe more regular than that. Repetition's going to give them the opportunity to reflect and theorize about improvement. And I would imagine that virtually all people naturally do that. You know, you do something several times, you find a slightly better way of doing it. You know, you might be a little short, might be something very subtle. If we're not careful over time, those slight variations can keep building and building to the point at which then we get this disparity between two or more operators, which can then start leading to undesirable outcomes in the process, like customer complaints or variations in our performance metrics and so on. But if we encourage people to share those, we'll share them as ideas and says, look, I think I found an even slightly better way of doing this particular thing, you know, putting the tea back in the cup or something. If we test that and conclude that it really is better than the current standard we have or have had, then we should update the standard. We've just found a better way of doing it. So that's continuous improvement. And then we might need to train that out to all the other people that do that task. And then that becomes the new benchmark from which we try to improve from. So we're constantly locking these improved ways in and then trying to build off that, which is very different to saying to a group of 15 people that do the same job, I'll just try and find better ways of doing it. If you do, crack on. Because then you're back to variation again. By definition, you don't have a standard and you're no better off than those organizations that never had standards in the first place, which is actually quite common.
So in terms of leading operators, what would your advice be to anyone who is looking at a group of people that they're responsible for, those people who are doing the work, in terms of engaging them to take on that role of the process operator?
I think it's start by helping them to appreciate what is the process that they operate, because it's not always obvious. People just come into work and do stuff. You know, it just seems complex, especially where it's not very repetitive. So I think the first step in there is starting to figure out, using various mapping techniques and models, you know, what is our process that we operate? You know, what's it comprised of? Who's the customer of it? What do they really want us to generate on their behalf? You know, which therefore that brings a sense of importance to certain aspects and not so much to others. And then that encouragement of improvement, I think. So there's helping them to recognize the importance of why we would want a standard at all. Because often people, if they don't understand it, it can feel like it's just another rule on top of the many other rules and policies that we're governed by. It can seem like, you know, oh, here's management telling us what to do again. You know, if you speak to the more cynical people, they might take that stance. But in truth, I always look at standardization as not something that we should be scared of or run away from or think it's just for the quality department to deal with, or it's just for the satisfaction of external audits when we get those. I think that's the very old-fashioned view of having them. And I think the process management perspective on standardization itself is far more optimistic. And it's a mechanism to help us maximize the improvements we can make. And at the same time, borrowing best practices from each other, sharing our learning. I can't see any reason why people would not benefit from doing it.
Brilliant, Damien. Thank you so much. It's been great talking to you again. I've enjoyed our conversation. It's been really good.
Excellent. Very good.
Thank you so much for joining us. You can find more episodes of our Uncommon Sense Tools to Improve Your Work Forever in our Knowledge Hub on our website, or, of course, your favourite podcast platform. And do subscribe so you never miss an episode. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode, where you'll find links to more content on this topic, which includes webinar recordings, toolbox guides, blogs, and infographics, and our training page. You can always drop us a line on team@pmi.co.uk and arrange a time to have a call to talk about how these tools can help you in your organisation. We'd really love to hear from you.